It's time to look west with Pete Weber on Hockey This Morning.
Yes, it is. We've been doing all West talk. There is Eastern talk coming up later. Devils and Rangers, game 5 tonight, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. We'll give you all the channel designations and the breakdowns coming up on Hockey This Morning later on. So be patient, Devils and Ranger fans. But when a team wraps up a series like the Kings did, not only wrap a series, but go to the Stanley Cup final. Not only that, but the first time in 19 years and only the second time in their long history. And yes, the Kings have been around since 67, 68. So they're old timers now. They're no longer the new kids in the block. Then you got to break that down. Pete Weber's the man to do it. The voice of the Nashville Predators. Man who knows his hockey inside out. He's got the Buffalo Bison somewhere proudly on his heart. Pete, good to talk to you this morning.
Good to talk with you, Mick. Yes, and big Buffalo Bison celebration coming up this year. 25th year of the ballpark downtown.
Nice ballpark.
Yes, but let's get into this hockey because it was spellbinding.
Now, yeah, I agree. I was critical, and I'm not going to apologize for that. I thought the games on the weekend were snorefests, and both of them. Maybe it was the start. I don't know. They haven't done that since junior hockey. Both teams were affected. But when you're a fan of the team and they win, you don't care. But since I don't really have a rooting interest, though I do like the Kings, I just want to see good hockey or entertaining hockey. And maybe it wasn't textbook hockey last night at times, but, Pete, that kept me awake. I thought it was a lot of fun, that game.
It was textbook, and I was starting to think, oh, no. On the U.S. side, Darren Pang is there. Now, Steve Levy was not in the vicinity that I know of, but we know how they were the overtime specialists for many years.
Yeah.
And then this one, and it wasn't a game that dragged at all to me whatsoever, because it was most like, okay, you score, I score, you score, I score. And that was, how did we get through the third period without a goal, the way they were going at each other? That was just spectacular to me.
Good question. Exactly. And if you're trying to sell hockey in Phoenix long term, you're trying to sell hockey anywhere in parts, as we always say, the non-traditional markets, then to me, a game like that last night is the perfect embodiment of that. You've got two U.S. southern-based markets, southwestern markets, emboldened fan base for good reason, and it's just top-notch hockey. Everything on the line, in a sense, because Phoenix had to win.
Yes,
L.A. didn't
yes.
have to win, but did you get a sense from L.A. that they just really – of course, you want to win every game. You want to win every game. You want to go 82-0 if you could. You want to win every game you play. But did you get a sense L.A. said, okay, enough of this. We don't want to go back to L.A. with this and have any chance of a seventh game coming back. Let's just put these dogs down now.
I felt that from the very outset. And I thought at once – and a matter of fact, I even tweeted this in the third period, that at that point to me, from the effort expended trying to avoid a game six, I saw the likes when you get right down to it of the Kings. Anze Kopitar was just looking exhausted at the end of each of his shifts. And, you know, that can be very, very dangerous when you're heading toward an overtime situation. But lo and behold, I think he certainly acquitted himself very, very well.
Yeah, I agree. I thought both teams did themselves proud. It's as I said, it's cold comfort for Phoenix this morning. Yeah, in this game. Now, what did Phoenix do to you? Not to you. They didn't do anything to you. What, in your
well,
opinion,
in the previous round, they did.
They sure did. Yeah. Well, Nashville liked to be in this position.
Yeah.
Maybe. What did Phoenix do in the last two games that they weren't doing in the first three? How were they able to win one and basically push the Kings to the wall in this fifth game?
Well, they scored the first goal in both of those last two games. That allows them to play a little bit more of their game. I'm not going to say they score and then collapse.
Right. No,
they don't do that. But that allows them to be a little bit more aggressive in swarming you. And if they score first, there's a darn good chance, and it was the case in both games, that they had been able to establish some good time in the offensive zone. And that will change the tenor of things greatly, because let's think, before these last two games, I had not seen a team more all over you than the LA Kings were in the first three games. They didn't give you a chance, Mick, to build up any momentum.
Yeah, and last night, from how I read the game, and I think you agree here, is that the Coyotes came out steaming.
Oh, yeah.
And Jonathan Quick did what he had to do as one of the all-star goalies in this league, premier goalies. He kept them in the game until the Kings could have an answer.
Exactly. Now, they had to answer several times.
Yes.
Obviously, because the only lead that the Kings had came finally then when Richard scored in the second period, but less than 3 minutes later, the Coyotes came back and tied it up, and then we had not exactly a marathon, but then we had that point in a hockey game where if you're a big fan of the game, you can't sit down. You have to stand up and walk around the room, because it was not agonizing. It was more like the ecstasy of supreme competition.
Yeah, and a bouncing puck, ice anywhere this time of year is going to be an issue. I don't want to go too much into that, but it had to have play into it somewhat because these are the top-notch players in the world who've gotten to this stage, and that puck was not behaving for them, was it?
No, it wasn't. You know something, Mick? And this is only theory, obviously only hypothetical, but if it's not bouncing as it was last night, did this game end up something more along the lines of 7-6?
It might have, and we may not have had those situations where the defenseman clear the puck over the ice, right?
Right.
And that sets up there's no arguing that. You have to call the penalty. No defenseman is right mind the NHL is purposely going to do that. They know it's going to be called, but when the puck's bouncing on you, you don't always have a choice.
I remember years and years ago, Washington Capitals taking on the Kings at the Forum in Los Angeles. And was it Gord Lane got so frustrated not the Capitals not being able to clear their zone, he picked up the puck and threw it over the glass. So that was understandable.
Did they call that?
Oh, yeah. Yes, they certainly did.
Gord Lane, what, the old Islander defenseman?
Yes.
Did he play for them?
Yes.
There's a name I haven't heard in years. I like that reference. Now, what about another defenseman? To me, was just a beast last night, Drew Doughty, golden assist. Penalties, reactions, you know,
reaction to offsides calls. Yes.
Oh, you know what? I don't even think that was an offside, but that's
didn't either.
That's the camera angle I saw. What do you think of his game last night? I thought he was being what he had to be, a team leader.
You know, I was thinking while watching him play, I was thinking back to the holdout last fall and how long it took him to join the club, actually just prior to their departing for Europe to get their schedule going. And people saying, okay, the onus is on you now, big boy. So much of it is expected from you. And he came through in flying colors, no matter what Kings colors you're talking about.
That's right.
Black, Forum blue, gold, whatever.
Is that what they call it, Forum blue?
When I worked for Jack Kent Cook, that is not purple.
Okay, you know
that
what?
That is Forum blue.
What you just said, we have to do a whole hour show on that one day, okay?
Okay.
Jack Kent Cook, my father-in-law's father worked with him when he was still in Toronto.
At CKEY?
Yes, when they would recreate the games for the Toronto Maple Leafs baseball team. So
okay.
We got to do a show on him.
And that, of course, also has another hockey tie-in as well, in that the voice of the Maple Leafs was Hal Kelly, Dan Kelly's older brother.
I did not know that. An Ottawa guy.
Yeah.
Very nice. Hey, we're with Pete Weber here. It's Hockey This Morning. We are talking hockey. It's Mick filling in for Mike Ross. We're looking at the West. Okay, anything else in that game that grabbed you? What do you think about Shane Doan? I thought I agree with what he said after the game. I thought he was classy as usual by saying, I'm not going to take anything away from what the LA Kings did to get here. But I do not like this, and that. And I'm going to call some of these calls out onto the carpet here. What do you make of his reaction?
I understand that entirely. This guy is a supreme competitor. I think any club would be happy to have him, no matter his age now, on their team. Because look how he was able to elevate his play, never having gone near this far in the playoffs before.
Right.
So I tip my cap to him. Now, at the end of the game, as I have on my score sheet here, we've got game misconducts to Shane Doan and Mike Smith. I thought Mike Smith might have been trying to, as the game ended, remove the spleen of Mike Richards.
I'm glad you noted that, because I noted that. I didn't hear anyone else say that. It looked like he was chopping down a tree.
Big time. I mean, that was one of the better. That was worthy of Billy Smith.
If he had connected with him, I would have hoped for some disciplinary action. He didn't, so we'll let it go.
Right. But still, there was the, it seemed obvious, intent, huh?
Yeah, I think so. And I guess, he's just a competitor. Mike Smith, though, he did resurrect his career this year, didn't he?
Big time. And let's give a huge assist there to Sean Burke.
Yeah.
Sean did an outstanding job rehabilitating Mike's career, getting him to play deeper in the net. And I think that a lot of credit goes his way. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Sean Burke. He is also an assistant in player development to Don Maloney there with the Coyotes. But what he has done with goaltenders, you know, and in the you'll think about 2020 hindsight, what he did to get Ilya Bryzgalov to the level at which he played, which earned him the huge
Good
payday
point.
From Philadelphia.
Good point. Sean Burke will be on everyone's radar now. A few more questions about this before we move on with Pete Weber here talking Western Conference hockey, the Western Conference Champions 2012, of course, the LA Kings. Phoenix's last game in Glendale, what do you think?
I hope not. And we saw what a motivated fan base can do in terms of creating an incredible atmosphere in the building at Jobbing.com. You know, and how many times now have we gotten near these announcements that there there is a savior of the team? And now the guy online is Greg Jameson. The Glendale Council has begun all of its meetings, and you just hate to see the fact that, you know, that Glendale is in such a bad financial strait right now. That might make it difficult for this to get consummated.
Yeah, it's beyond us, but it's certainly the off-ice business interests me as well. You know my attitude on this. When I got in trouble with the Nashville fans, I'm not against any franchise. I'm not even paying taxes here, so what do I care? But it's just a common sense. If you got other things you got to cut, then these things come last. But it would be nice to be able to keep teams where they are. I'm with you on that.
Absolutely.
And there's a challenge to the fans. It's great that you are out. Show up in October, November, and December, too, if you can.
Thank you, Mick.
Hard to buy tickets. But if you want it, at some point, it's not build it and they will come. They got to the playoffs. Now you have to support them.
It's almost like with the traffic patterns there that they would have to play, and a lot of cooperation would be needed here, but they would need to play almost an American League schedule their home games toward the weekend because of you're talking roughly for someone in Scottsdale, which would be the area you would be targeting for demographics and so on. It is probably at minimum a 90-minute round trip for them on a weeknight.
Yeah, and that's tough. That's tough. I hear you've seen it. The arena's beautiful.
Oh, is it ever.
And that's tough. That's too bad. That's just the way it is. We'll see how that plays out. LA Kings have a layoff now for a week. Other than play the Rangers.
Now, they're
and
used
the
to
Devils.
That now.
Well, they are. And well, everyone always questions, and for good reason, is there going to be a bit of rust? I always say, yeah, there might be for the first game. But I think at this stage, Pete, any rest you can get in recuperation for your players is a big plus.
Oh, it certainly will be. But, you know, I'm wondering also, how busy is Brendan Shanahan going to be today? On the aftermath of that game last night, I felt, for example, the Dustin Brown hit. I thought he led high.
So did I.
With that hit on Michael Roosevelt.
I agree.
And a very unfortunate catching of him there. And actually, I thought if there might be any disciplinary action, there might be something along
suspended
the lines.
Suspended for a week.
there you go. Well, do in the old days, like when Gil Stein led the NHL, and suspend the guys for non-game playing days.
Boy, Gordy Lane, Gil Stein, any other names from the past?
Well, at least only one of them has been taken out of the Hall of Fame.
Well, I would say Gordy Lane had a better chance of being there, better legitimacy than Gil Stein.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk in the time remaining with Pete Weber, because you got to move on, we got to move on. I could do this for hours, and we got to talk about Jack Kincook one day.
Okay.
Do a whole thing on that. Let's talk about coaching.
Get my old
openings.
Partner Bob Miller, because he endured
there's a legend.
7 years with him.
There's a legend, and endured would be the word.
Yes,
it
would be.
Yes. Coaching openings in the Western Conference. Well, we know Edmonton now needs a new coach after leaving Tom Rennie swinging in the wind for 6 weeks.
Yes.
I hate when they do that. I hope he
cashed
the paychecks.
Shameful.
Yeah. Who do you think in Edmonton and where else?
I don't think there's much question for Edmonton, but it seems it's going to be Brent Sutter.
Why?
Interesting
why do you think
to go
so?
Down.
That is the name. Well, why do you think?
Because there really has, let's put it this way, Steve Tambellini, yes, he's doing a nice job. The general manager of the Oilers dancing around the various questions. Hey,
yes.
Would you consider so-and-so?
That's right.
Would you consider Gerard Gallant taking him in for the St. John's Sea Pups and see if he would come in? Well, I'd like to have a player like him. You know,
sure.
On the roster right now.
Yeah.
But not really answering the question about the coach. So I think the more intriguing look is probably going to be with the Calgary Herald. Might it be another sort of Battle of Alberta switcheroo? Does it become Craig McTavish or Jay Feaster getting his first chance to hire a coach in Calgary? Will he go back to a familiar name? As we saw, and as was alluded to before I came on this morning, going back to a familiar face from times past, we didn't think that the Kings made the greatest of moves, moving in Daryl Sutter. How wrong we were.
That's right.
But so now does Bob Hartley end up reuniting with Jay Feaster and doing the job together now in Calgary?
It's amazing how you can get off the radar in hockey quickly in the National Hockey League sense, but hockey people know that you're not gone. Bob Hartley... a lot of hockey fans may say, you know, yesterday's man, but he's kept his hand in it, hasn't he?
Yes, he has, and he has been, working right now as an advisor, is it turning out, in the Calder Cup playoffs? So let's see what happens there.
And one more, what's going on with San Jose Sharks and Vancouver Canucks?
Yeah, now, we remember that Elliot Friedman reported last week from Hockey Night that Todd McClellan had been told that he was going to retain his job. However, the general manager, Doug Wilson, will not confirm that he indeed had told him that, saying we don't talk on rumors.
Right.
So I would have to say that right now we're probably looking at the constitution of the assistant coaching staff there in San Jose with Todd McClellan, because I think they would like to announce the group coming back with the team. But still, what does Doug Wilson do to remake this Sharks franchise? What, you know, so there are still a lot of question marks remaining there. And we were also saying we think it is merely a formality awaiting the announcement of a re-signing in Vancouver of Alain Vigneault.
Agreed. And if you do change your coach in San Jose, the next change is the GM, as far as
I'm
concerned.
Correct.
And no offense to Mr. Wilson, but you've done everything else.
Right. And that's the same thing when you talk about Calgary to Edmonton.
Yeah.
Now, for Jay Feaster, it's his first hire as a coach.
That's right.
But in Edmonton, what do you do now? Is this the last hire for the Tambellini regime?
Should be interesting to see. Pete, always good stuff. Next time we talk, it will be the morning of the Stanley Cup final.
Yes. Looking forward to that. And I am planning on being in Los Angeles for games 3 and 4 out there.
Please send me a program.
Okay, will
do. An In-N-Out burger, too, if you could.
All right, yeah, I will try to. I better use FedEx then.
I want to hear as quick as possible. Pete, talk to you next week. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mick, and best to Mike Ross.
Absolutely, Mike Ross, under the weather right now. That's why you're hearing my voice at you on hockey this morning. Pete Weber, of course, for the Nashville Predators, who I thought were going to get there, and I was wrong. Who is with us every Wednesday morning here on Hockey This Morning?